church should be a missional church. In other words, every local church should be endeavouring to reach out with the good news of the gospel. This is the reason we're here, isn't it? That we might tell others about the Lord Jesus. But how can we do this better? And the answer is, I think, in part by observing certain Christian disciplines. We don't become Christians by observing these disciplines. They're not necessary for salvation, but I think they will enable us, as we observe them, to shine more brightly for God in the community in which He has called us to serve Him. Several weeks ago, we looked at the discipline of going to church. We said that one of the first things that we would want to encourage a new convert to do is to attend their local church. Every Christian needs fellowship. Every Christian needs a community of believers to which they can belong that will enable them to receive ministry and encouragement in order to grow and become mature. Last week we looked at the discipline of being baptized in order to publicly identify ourselves with Jesus Christ and His people. I want to re-emphasize tonight that we are not saved by being baptized. Nevertheless, it is an important step of obedience for the Christian. This week, though, we're looking at the discipline of joining a local church. Not simply attending a local church, but joining a local church. Perhaps I should say, ideally, a local church. It's not always possible, is it, as a Bible-believing Christian, to be a part of your local church? I remember when we were up in Suffolk, we had to travel several miles in order to go to a church that believed in the authority of Scripture and was concerned to proclaim the gospel. The two local churches that were nearest to us just didn't open the Bible. They didn't seem to be interested in the Bible. So it's not always the case that one can go to their local church, but where possible, that ought to be the case. And not only to go to the local church, but to join the local church. And as we look at this particular discipline, we're going to ask the question, why join a church? Now, Alid and Naomi are sitting at the back there, and if we can move on from that slide, because all the answers are given there, to the next one. There's the title, The Discipline of Joining a Church. I feel this evening to provide some justification for dealing with this particular issue. And the reason I say that is because it doesn't seem to me to be a pressing issue in this local church. Most people who attend regularly here are church members. But it is a problem in many churches today, particularly in the Western world. And it was certainly a problem in the last church that Joanne and I were in up in Suffolk. Lots of people were coming along on a Sunday morning, but were not joining the church, were not committing themselves to the church. They had no intention of joining the church, and some of them were even arguing that it wasn't biblical to join a church. And so we had to consider the matter carefully, and I was given the task of writing a paper and presenting it to the church. You know when these things are becoming issues, when lots of books start getting written in order to deal with the matter. And I've got a number of books at home that deal with this specific issue. I meant to bring one of them out with me tonight, but I've left it at home. I didn't mean to do that. But it's entitled Stop Dating the Church. Fall in Love with the Family of God. So there is some justification, I trust, for talking about this matter tonight. But let me ask a question. Does the Bible talk about church membership? Can we make a case for it? Did the early church have a formal membership? Did they have a list of everybody who belonged to the church? You know, sometimes we talk about the membership role, don't we? Well, were there membership roles during the days of the early church? How do we respond to those who would argue that church membership, in a formal sense, is an unbiblical tradition? Well, I want to argue tonight that Scripture indicates church membership in New Testament times. Firstly, in speaking about church discipline. You don't need to turn to these verses tonight, but in 1 Corinthians and chapter 5, you will probably know that Paul speaks to the church in Corinth about this particular man who was living immorally, telling them that they needed to deal with him. Presumably that this man had already been challenged about his lifestyle, but he was unwilling to repent. He wanted to persist in his sin. And so Paul said to the church in Corinth that they were to put him out of the church. And presumably, if they needed to put him out of the church, it follows that in some sense he was considered to be in the church. That he was formally recognized as part of the fellowship. Now, assuming this man was put out of the church, I don't think it meant that he wasn't allowed to attend services or Christian gatherings, because in 1 Corinthians and chapter 14, we read that unbelievers were often present at the Christian gatherings. He would have been allowed to attend a service such as this, though he would not have been permitted to participate at the Lord's Supper. Neither would he have been permitted to fulfill any particular roles within the life and ministry of the church. Because although he may, I don't know whether he did or not, but although he may have still attended services, the church would have recognized him as one who had been put out of the church and no longer was considered to be in the church. And in being put out of the church, of course, he would have been treated as an unbeliever. The church would not have said that he wasn't a believer. Only God really knows at the end of the day, but he would have been treated as an unbeliever. So I would argue that Scripture indicates church membership in New Testament times, firstly, in speaking about church discipline. But secondly, in speaking about pastoral oversight. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul writes to Timothy about overseers. We might call overseers bishops or elders. But what is it that the overseer oversees? Well, the answer is the flock of God. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 28, Paul tells the Ephesian elders, that is the overseers, to be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Now, every shepherd out on the field, or out in the fields, I should say, recognizes his own flock. There would have been many flocks out on the fields of Palestine, and each shepherd would have recognized the particular flock that was under his care. And the sheep would have known to which shepherd they belonged. So I think in talking about pastoral oversight, in talking about elders, it follows that there would have been a formally recognized group of people under their care. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the author, whoever he was, tells us that the leaders of the church are to keep watch over their flock as men who must give an account. One day they would have to stand before God and give an account of those entrusted to their care. Well, who exactly are those entrusted to their care? Sheep wandering here, there and everywhere? Those who perhaps pop in from time to time and then disappear again? Must I one day stand before God and give an account of everybody who perhaps wanders into this church? Maybe stays for a couple of Sundays and then wanders away again? Again, it would suggest that there was some kind of recognition of those who were in the church and those who were not. I know a church where there wasn't a formal membership, and there was one young man who had been attending this particular church from time to time who needed to be spoken to. He needed counselling, he needed discipline. He needed to receive the loving correction of the elders in this church. But the elders weren't really sure whether they were in a position to talk to him or not. They weren't sure whether they were allowed to exercise authority as far as this young man was concerned. Because, you see, they didn't have a formal membership. And this young man was not one who regularly attended the church, but he had links with the church. And it caused a great deal of confusion in their minds. And I think where there isn't a formal membership, it can prove very confusing for those who are involved in oversight. Do they have authority over certain people or don't they? So I can't point to the New Testament tonight and say this is where in the Bible it clearly states in black and white that there must be a formal membership in every church. But I do think that there is enough in the New Testament that would lead us to believe that there needs to be some kind of formal membership. Clearly the early church prayed and made decisions. Well, who was it that was involved in the decision making? Who was it that was involved when it came to disciplinary matters? Was it every Tom, Dick and Harry that was in some way connected with the church? Or was it those who were considered to be a part of any given local church? Well, I've made my point, hopefully with some good biblical reasons. So let's endeavour to move on and consider some biblical reasons for joining a church. This is where I need the help of those at the back. Why join a church? That's the question. And if we can have the next line up, please. Answer. When you join a church, firstly, and just so that you know how many headings there are tonight, there are 9 of them. They're not 11 tonight, just 9 of them tonight. Firstly, you prove that you are not ashamed to identify yourself with Christ and his people. Whilst Jesus was living here upon the earth, he said, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful nation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory and with his holy angels." By joining a church, it's one way, just one way of saying to other people, particularly those outside of the church, that we are committed to Jesus Christ and his people. It's just one clear, obvious way of identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ and his church. We may be Christians, but let us tell others that we are Christians by joining the local church. Why join a church? Well, when you join a church, secondly, you stop being an independent Christian. I suspect that one of the reasons why some people today don't join a local church is because they don't want to be accountable to anyone. But I believe that there is meant to be accountability within the Christian life. You know, If I sin against somebody, the Bible says that they should come and speak to me about it. But if I'm unwilling to say sorry, the Bible says that they should bring one or two people along with them to speak to me about it. But if I'm still unwilling to say that I'm sorry, then the matter should be taken to the church and addressed by the community of God's people. But if I'm still unwilling to say sorry, if I'm still unwilling to repent, then the church is to put me out of the church. And no longer recognize me as a believer. They are to do so lovingly with a view to me being restored, with a view to me, firstly, of course, being brought to repentance and then restored. But you see, there is supposed to be accountability within the Christian life. There is supposed to be accountability, first and foremost, of course, to God, but also to other Christians, to the local church. Moreover, Hebrews 13, verse 17, there is to be a willing submission to church leaders. So secondly, when you join a church, you stop being an independent Christian. And thirdly, when you join a church, you have a greater opportunity to use your spiritual gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6, Paul writes, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Or we might translate it, "or for the profit of all." You know, in many local churches today, many ministries are only open to those who are church members. Because the church wants to make sure that people who serve in the church share the same vision as the church, are willing to accept the church's doctrinal position, and are willing to acknowledge some sort of accountability. And I guess this would be true in this particular local church. And so if we want to use our gifts, particularly the gifts of leadership or teaching that we might have, we need to join the church. Why join a church? Well, when you join a church, fourthly, you have a greater opportunity to use your spiritual gift. That's the one I've just dealt with, isn't it? Let me go back and deal with the third one. Sorry, I just dealt with point number four. Let me go back and deal with the third point. You participate in a stronger, more unified effort of God's people. Sorry, I'm confusing you as well as confusing myself. You know, in a dark room, if you light a single candle, it makes a difference, doesn't it? It causes the room to light up to some extent. But it's much better if that single candle can be accompanied by lots of other candles that also shine. In fact, the light in the dark room shines much more brightly and effectively. And when Paul writes to the church in Philippi, he says that we are to shine like stars in this dark and perverse generation, together as we hold out the word of truth. There are so many things that we can do together that we can't do on our own as Christians. So when we join a church, we participate in a stronger, more unified effort of God's people. Good. Now we've got ourselves back on track again. Let's consider the fifth heading. Why join a church? Well, when you join a church, you openly demonstrate the reality of the body of Christ. You wouldn't believe, or perhaps you would believe, how many times over the years I've heard Christians say, okay, but I belong to the universal church of Jesus Christ. And of course, if we are a Christian, we do belong to the universal church of Jesus Christ. It's a great thing, of course, to be a part of it. But God wants his church to be seen. And the local church is the visible manifestation of the universal or the invisible church. Paul wrote to the church in Rome. He wrote to the church in Corinth. He wrote to the church in Ephesus. He wrote to the church in Colossae. He didn't just write to sort of Christians who were sort of floating around here, there and everywhere. He spoke, or he wrote to specific churches in specific locations. Someone has said this: to join a particular part of the body of Christ is not to bring something into existence that was not there before. It is simply to make actual what is spiritual, to prove that the spiritual is real. So when we join a church, we openly demonstrate the reality of the body of Christ. But sixthly, when we join a church, we participate in a more balanced ministry. Now, I've already touched on this on a Sunday evening, and so I don't want to say too much under this heading. But I think we would all recognise that when we're part of a body of people, it provides the necessary checks and balances that we need as Christians. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16 tells us that God gives certain gifts to his church, pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we join a church, we receive a ministry from others, and it enables us to receive the necessary checks and balances that we need in our Christian lives. Why join a church? Well, when you join a church, you demonstrate your commitment to the proper working of each individual part. Let me ask you a question at this point. What do hitchhikers do? Well, the answer is they look for free rides. And when they get a ride in someone's car, they assume no responsibility for the money needed to buy the car, the gas to run it, or the cost to maintain it. The hitchhiker is one who simply expects a comfortable and safe ride to his destination. And he thinks nothing of the inconvenience caused to the driver, who may have to travel some distance out of his way in order to enable him to arrive at his destination. Now, not everybody who attends a place of worship should be discouraged by this illustration. You know, there are some people who go to church and they're not members of the church. And the reason they are there is because they are looking into the Christian faith. They are not yet Christians, and therefore it's not appropriate for them to join the church. There are some people who are looking for a church to join, but they want to see whether or not it's the home in which they can establish their roots. And there may be other reasons that I haven't mentioned tonight as to why some people may go to church and haven't joined. But there are what we might call the hitchhiker types, who have no intention of joining and frankly ought to join the local church in order to demonstrate their commitment to the proper working of each individual part. What does Paul write in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16? From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So why join a church? Well, when you join a church, you demonstrate your commitment to the proper working of each individual part, and you encourage new believers to commit themselves to the local church. We had a real problem in the previous church that we attended up in Suffolk. You see, there was a very bright young man who didn't want to join the church. He didn't believe that joining a local church was something that could be argued from Scripture. But the real concern was that he was convincing lots of other people within the church that they didn't need to join either. And one particular group came to think that they didn't need to join the church was the young people. We had lots of keen, enthusiastic young Christians who weren't joining the church. They wanted to serve the Lord Jesus, but they didn't want to join the church. And I think we always need to think about how our actions and our words influence others. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 tell us that we should be concerned to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And that surely means not discouraging others, particularly new believers, from taking up an active, committed role within the local church. The story that I've told you, though, has a good ending. This particular young man was eventually convinced to join the church, and lots of people followed behind him, and we give thanks and praise to God for that. But by joining the church, you encourage new believers to commit themselves to the local church. But lastly, why join a church? Well, when you join a church, you encourage those already committed to the ministry of the church. Imagine a man starts courting a girl, and he grows to love her, and she grows to love him. And yet, 10 years down the line, he still hasn't popped the question. He still hasn't got on his knees and asked her to marry him. How does she feel? Well, she feels that whilst he loves her and is interested in her, that he isn't really that committed to her. And I think sometimes this is how the pastor and other church members feel. When there are those who regularly come along to the church but never get round to joining the church and committing themselves to the church. Now let me go on to say very quickly this. Does the girl in my illustration want the relationship to end? And the answer is no. Most definitely not. She loves him. And the pastor and church members love those who regularly attend. They enjoy their fellowship. They most certainly do not want the relationship to end, but they would be really encouraged to see such folk committing themselves to the local church and joining it and becoming a part of it. When you join a local church, you encourage those already committed to the ministry of the church. You know, it is a great privilege to be a part of God's family. The Apostle John seemed overwhelmed by this fact, and this is what he wrote. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and this is what we are. If we're a Christian here tonight, we are a part of God's family, but we ought to be giving visible expression to that by joining a local church, a local church family. In the New Testament, the local church is referred to as a flock, Acts chapter 20 and verse 8. It's referred to a building, Ephesians 2, verse 21, a body, 1 Corinthians 12, 27, and a family, 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Let me conclude then by reading to you what one English pastor has said. God has given us four pictures of the church, not one. This is not just to emphasize and prove the point by repetition, but also to say four things about what it means to be a member of a church. To be a stone in his temple means to belong to a worshipping community. To be a part of a body means to belong
to a living, functioning, serving, witnessing community. To be a sheep in the flock means belonging to a community dependent on him for food, protection, and direction. To be a member of a family is to belong to a community bound by a common fatherhood. Put together, you have the main functions of an individual Christian. Evidently, we are meant to fulfill these not on our own, but together in church. Now he writes, can you see the answer to the question why you should join a church? Last week I spoke on the matter of baptism. I would love to talk to anybody about the matter of baptism. Tonight I've talked about joining a local church. I would love the opportunity to speak to anybody about joining this local church. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, there's only one institution on the earth that you established, and that is the local church. And it is something that you are committed to. You died for the church. You died for your people. And therefore, it is right and proper that we should be committed to it as well. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the local church. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to belong to a local church. We thank you for this local church. We thank you for the way in which it functions. We thank you for the way in which, Lord, it is enabled to make the gospel known within this community. Lord, as we sung earlier, we pray that you would make us into the church that you would have us be. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.